Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Wow. Tomorrow will mark 1 week until the actual election day. That is fantastic. Lots of stuff that you and I clearly have got to talk about. And I am here to tell you that Larry Sabato, who heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the Shameless Promotion of Larry Sabato at UVA, needs to be held to account. Yeah, I'm going to talk about Donald Trump sitting down for 3+ hours with Joe Rogan and just having a great time. I'm going to talk about Tucker Carlson calling out the truth of what attracts people to Donald Trump. I'll give you a little sneak peek. It's that he likes people. We'll talk about the left-wing legacy news media hacks melting down into a collective puddle of tears and puke, I think. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not getting that close to examine it. But, well, they had a rally. Well, Donald Trump had a rally at Madison Square Garden. You know, that happened like 78, 92 years ago when the Nazis held a rally there. Hey, you know, last year Taylor Swift played Madison Square Garden. Anybody compare him to her or her to him? Tonight, the team, you know, the team that plays with that ball, what is it? It doesn't matter. It's a thing. They're playing there tonight. No, it's a basketball game tonight, Madison Square Garden. It's just absolutely pathetic. It gets more and more pathetic every time you look at this nonsense. The good news, I think, is that in about a week or so, it's going to be over. And I don't do predictions, and I'm not about to do predictions now, but I will say to you, as I say to my friend Gigi over at Princess Cleaners, because those are my cleaners right there on England Street, I will say to you, as I say to her, I am cautiously optimistic. What I'm not optimistic about is this Larry Sabato hack. Now, Sabato is a far left-wing wacko. You know that, and I know that. It's not exactly well hidden. For a number of years, I must give him credit. He was able to convince people that he was a legit poli-sci professor, a solid researcher, man. He just wanted to call him down the middle. Then he's got his, what is it, the Center for Politics? He also has $500,000 plus of your money and my money, taxpayer money, for his faux position at UVA. Am I somehow, some way upset with Larry Sabato and his political agenda? Absolutely not. I want you to take this one to the bank. I don't care. It's a beautiful situation to be in. When you can say, I don't care about certain things, and you really mean it, it is absolutely empowering. Well, Jeff, I think this might happen or that might happen. I think, I don't care. Really? Yeah, I'm good. I got my stuff kind of together, kind of know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm good. Thank you very much. I'm not sweating anything in that regard. So, no, I am not in any way upset with Larry Sabato's left-wing agenda. What I am absolutely disgusted by were the tweets that Larry Sabato sent out the other night about the Donald Trump rally at Madison Square Garden. So unbelievably offensive and disgusting and inappropriate. He can, without question, stake out any political position he'd like. The problem is that he's misleading the board of visitors or the board of directors, whatever they call them out there at UVA, when he's telling them, yeah, we have this nonpartisan right down the middle center for politics. Well, that's a bunch of crap. That's not true at all. What he has out there is a left-wing agitprop machine. But you know what? Even that I'm not so sure I care about. Because the folks at UVA should know exactly what's going on. They should have known about Sabato years ago. But they've allowed it to continue. Here is the problem. And I do mean the big problem. When Larry Sabato claims that Donald Trump and the people inside of Madison Square Garden are Nazis, that's where he's lost me. There's some sort of rule, I don't remember what it is, the Caldwell rule or something like that, that some professor somewhere said, the moment that you invoke Hitler or the Nazis in an argument, you've lost. And we know that that's the argument from Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama. Oh, they're Nazis. Donald Trump is Hitler. People who support him, man, they are Nazis. Well, you've lost the argument, but for those of us who actually lost family members in the Shoah, in the Holocaust, I am here to tell you that this is so outrageous and so over the top and so egregious from Larry Sabato that the University of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, has to hold him accountable for his insulting is the nicest way to say it. I mean, again, I don't care if you insult me. I've been insulted by better. It's okay. Believe me, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't care. I really don't in that regard. Call me whatever you want. Say I'm a terrible person. That's fine. I'm all good with that. But when you want to insult the memories, you want to spit on the graves of the victims of the Holocaust, you are absolutely over the line. You are absolutely, positively over the line. Now, I expect this garbage from MSNBC, and make no mistake, they did not disappoint. Their entire coverage of Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden was all about how it was the Nazis. They're Nazis. And I found it interesting that at such a big, gigantic Nazi event, there were Israeli flags on display, and there were proud Jews who attended. In fact, there were guys rapping tefillin at the Trump event. I'm here to tell you, that's not Nazis who are doing that. Not a chance. So what was it that Larry Sabato said? Larry Sabato, who again heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the Shameless Promotion of Larry Sabato at UVA, said, and I quote, "I love historical documentaries. I'm currently watching one about the 1939 pro-Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden." Oh, wait, it's a live Trump rally. My bad. So I'm telling you, Sabato, as a Jew, you disgust me. You absolutely, positively turn my stomach. As the family member who is here, I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of my family that's not, and you disgust me. You are spitting on their graves. You are absolutely vile and disgusting in that comment. Vile and disgusting and inexcusable. Now my question becomes, what's going to happen about it? What's going to be done about it? Will the University of Virginia do something with this $500,000 per year left-wing hack? Will they do something about his Center for Politics, which is a far left-wing operation? I'm here to tell you that not a single decent member in the media should ever have this guy on their program again. Fox News should say, sorry, we're not having you on. Newsmax, News Nation, any of them, every one of them should say to him, we will not have you on our programs again. radio programs should say absolutely, positively not. Would not have Larry Sabato on. It is just utterly disgusting. Oh, and you know what else is disgusting? And I have to wonder if it's legal. The good Mr. Sabato, after he was called out on this, because believe me, I am not the only person who is pointing this out. There are a number of people all over the world who pointed out Sabato's vile comments. His Jew-hating sentiment, because that's what that was. He also has blocked a number of people on X, including Nick Freitas, state delegate. Are people in taxpayer-paid positions allowed to do that? I don't know what the regulations are. I would imagine that there is somebody somewhere with the letters JD after their name that knows the answer to that. Can Larry Sabato, who is being paid $500,000 by Virginia taxpayers, turn around and then block Virginia taxpayers on his X account? He blocked Nick Freitas. He also blocked a journalist from out in Charlottesville. No, I checked. He didn't block me. I don't know whether that's good or bad. I mean, whatever. But here's who I'm calling on. And I'm very serious. You know, I never say to you, oh, you should do this, you should do that, pick up the phone, do this. It's your life. You live your life any way you want to. But I'm telling you, as a Virginia taxpayer, I am calling on Jason Meares, our attorney general, to look into this and figure out whether Mr. Sabato, as a taxpayer paid individual operating apparently as I don't know, a University of Virginia faculty member. Can he block people on X? I'd like to know what the University of Virginia poobahs are going to do about this. Are you going to look into this and say, you know what? Man, even for us, this is outrageous. You got to go? Do you shut down the Center for Politics? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to it. How about Governor Youngkin? Can Governor Youngkin do anything about this? At the very least, I would think that the governor would call the president out there at UVA and say, hey, dude, what the hell's going on? I mean, Governor Youngkin would say it in a much nicer way because he's a far nicer person. But that's what I would say. In fact, my question to him would probably involve, more profanities and bad language. But I'll share that. If you're not with me on X, man, you missed a lot of interaction. Do yourself a favor. Make sure you're following Jeff Katz Show over on X. Jeff Katz Show over on X. I'm going to remind you about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That's how you can always reach out to me. I love reading those texts, 833-804-1140. I got a lot of good events that are coming up in the not-too-distant future. I got tapped the other day. I'm going to be one of the celebrity judges for Nest Academy. They're doing a big chili cook-off as a fundraiser for the Nest Academy. Oh, great group of people, so I'm looking forward to that. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. We have got so much that we are dealing with. Really, 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 really good stuff. And I'm excited about all of it. You know, I always love the opportunity to help some folks out as best we can. And we've got some really good stuff coming up in that regard right at 3:35. Carl Carlson's going to be here a little bit later. Hey, cut number 10, MSNBC describing the Trump rally. This is priceless.
Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden comes days after his own former chief of staff went on record to describe his former boss as a fascist. But that jamboree happening right now, you see it there on your screen, in that place, is particularly chilling because in 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed the garden for a so-called pro-America rally, a rally where speakers voiced anti-Semitic rhetoric from a stage draped with Nazi banners. When a Jewish protester rushed the stage, the Associated Press reported, quote, instantly, a dozen or more stormtroopers set upon him, knocking him down and beating him as he held his head in his arms. Most of his clothing was torn from his body. Later, he was booked for disorderly conduct. Now, against that backdrop of history, Donald Trump, the man who has threatened to use the military against opponents he calls enemies from within, who has threatened to use the troops to quell what he says are lawless cities and to use those troops to carry out mass deportations of immigrants, is once again turning Madison Square Garden into a staging ground for extremism.
I don't know which one of the MSNBC talking heads that is, but God, what a maroon. Jeez. Listen, dude, I understand that 90 years ago there was a big rally there that you just described, which is absolutely true. That's not something he made up. You know what else took place there about the same time frame? Was a pro-Jewish rally. You know what happened the other night with Donald Trump? There was a huge, huge representation of the Jewish community at the event. There were Israeli flags in place. It was clear that there was nobody there with any input that was anti-Semitic or any of this other nonsense. I mean, it there does come a point, I would think, where even for the MSNBC hacks, you got to just put this stuff aside. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
What a maroon.
335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Now, I got to give you a little peek ahead. I'm not going to give you exact dates and times, but I will tell you this. We've got some great folks visiting the show over the next couple of days. My buddy Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine is going to be with us because we're going to talk about the home run hit by Donald Trump when he went on the Joe Rogan show. You may like Donald Trump, you may dislike him. You may like Joe Rogan, you may dislike him. I don't care what it is. I'm just telling you that a three-hour appearance on the Rogan podcast is huge and a terrible, terrible miss by the vice president. Seriously. And what has empowered Joe Rogan? Well, Michael is going to join us. We'll talk about that. Old buddy of mine, Chris Ruddy. You know, Chris has been here many, many times. We talked about some of the great things that he and Newsmax have done over the years. But Chris has also been a personal friend of President Trump's for many, many years. And so I said to him, I said, do me a favor, just pop on a couple of minutes. You don't have to promote anything at Newsmax unless you want to. And I do love Newsmax because I've done stuff with them for, I don't know, 30 years, whatever it is, their television, what have you. But he's going to be on just to talk a little bit about Trump, the personal side, which is really interesting. And then finally, we've got my old buddy Bill O'Reilly, who's going to be dropping by. Looking forward to that. O'Reilly's got this new book called Confronting the Presidents, and he's going to pop on again. Personal relationship with President Trump for many, many years. So I think there's some good insight there. So those three guys are going to be with us over the next couple of days. Make sure that you are here for that. You know that I love our Central Virginia charitable entities. We got a lot of great charitable organizations in Central Virginia. We really do. I am always impressed and kind of humbled when I look at the great people that do such great work every single day. I will tell you that the Virginia Down Syndrome Association is one of those organizations. Every time I turn around, there's something new, there's something exciting, there's something helpful, there's something inspiring going on with the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. They've got a big golf tournament coming up. They got some other stuff coming up as well. And Mike Baum is the executive director over there. And Mike, number one, welcome and congratulations. You're relatively new to that slot, aren't you?
I am, Jeff. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come online.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah. Almost 3 months now I've had the honor of being the new executive director.
Excellent, excellent. And you're getting your feet wet, you know, where like the men's room is and the coffee cups are and stuff like that.
I definitely know where the coffee is.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So you have hit the ground running. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Virginia Down Syndrome Association has been an amazing organization for a long time. So tell me a little bit. You got a big golf tournament coming up, right?
We do on next Friday, November 8th. It's a morning golf tournament Friday at Sycamore Creek.
Okay, nice, nice thing. Are you all filled up at this point? You got to be.
We are not, actually. And, you know, it's like Richmond for a lot of times. You know, people wait to the last minute. We've had a lot of interest.
Okay.
And, you know, we're coming on the heels of our biggest event, Step Up for Down Syndrome, which was out at Dory Park on October 12th, which we had thousands of people out there. And it's a huge festival, great opportunity for individuals with Down Syndrome and their families and the general public. Big 5K family festival. And so this is kind of right afterwards. There was a lot of things going on, but thank goodness we have a great staff, great board, and great volunteers and folks like yourself.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but I'm a little taken aback. But you know how it is, Richmond. We're a walk up crowd. You know, there's going to be somebody who shows up that morning with a set of clubs, going, "Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to register ahead of time. Can I get in here?" Well, I want to fill it up, Mike. I don't want any empty slots over there. How can people get signed up for it?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website, which is virginiadsa.org. So Virginia and then DSA for Down Syndrome Association.org. And you'll see under the events are for the golf tournament itself and some other great things we have going on. So that's the easiest way.
Okay.
You can always send an email to info@virginiadsa.org if that can come to me. And we could chat more about it. I can answer any questions. But no, we anticipate filling it up. It's a tournament that's been going on for over a decade, and started by one of our board members and families. In a lot of cases, a lot of dads out there that really get out there and so it's a lot of we're excited about it, and I'm excited about this. In my former nonprofit's life, I've done a lot of golf tournaments, but I'm really excited about this one because, you know, once again, we're making a difference every day in this organization. So, you know, the opportunity to showcase what we're doing and get people aware of the, you know, once again, the, you know, how we're benefiting the lives of individuals with Down syndrome and their families.
It is such wonderful work that you do. I want to remind everybody, Mike Baum is joining us. He's the executive director of the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. They got a big golf tournament coming up on November the 8th. Yes, they actually have some slots available. So I am urging you, virginiadsa.org, get over there, fill those slots up ASAP. But as you point out, Mike, this is just one of the things that the Virginia Down Syndrome Association does. Step Up for Down Syndrome is that huge event. Now, you said it was at Dory Park. Now, I can remember, I think the first time I went to it, I think it was over at Innsbruck, and there were, I don't know, a dozen people. I mean, no offense, but it wasn't a great event to begin with. But, man, you're like blowing it out of the water now.
Well, I think we've been, to be honest, I think we've been a couple places since then, but we keep kind of blowing the capacity off. So Dory Park is a beautiful park and has a lot of room, so I think we found a great home for this event moving forward.
Sweet, sweet. And you guys also, you do this great Dancing with the Stars event. Now, I've watched the last 2 years. I got to tell you something. I watched this year up close and personal. I was actually down there as a celebrity judge and got to see my buddy John Burkett from CBS 6 dance. And, you know, I love John, and I said to him, I said, "Look, if you will stop dancing, I will give money. You just got to cut that out, man. This is not helping anybody." But he did a nice job, and I was impressed with it. The dancers really were incredible.
They do, and it's fantastic. This will be the third year, and it's on June 12th, 2025, at the Altria Center. Okay. And we're looking forward to that, and we're actually hoping to get you, Jeff Katz, out there as one of our celebrity dancers, one of our stars.
Now, this is, you know, I'm mocking Burkett, and I'm thinking, man, I could double the money he would raise by not dancing if I agreed not to dance. You know, the other guy who did a great job, Matt DiNardo, the year before, it was like he was like Fred Astaire up there. It was incredible. What would you like me to do? Do I have to wear a costume? And is it possible for me to dance without actually moving? Can I sit in a chair and let other people dance?
Well, I'm sure we could figure out something for you, but we just want to have you involved. We appreciate you being a judge.
Okay.
And but I think that this is a, you know, you definitely have that invitation out to one of our coveted slots to be one of our local stars, being a dancer. And
nice.
The great concept of this is, you know, you're paired with an individual with Down syndrome. And so it's just a fantastic opportunity to show the abilities of our individuals at the same time, working with some great community leaders like yourself out there doing, you know, once again, raising money for our organization. And like I said, we couldn't do it without individuals, without corporations, without our volunteers. And so, you know, this is an important event for us in 2025.
Well, listen, I will absolutely be happy to help in any way that is possible. Maybe I can enlist DiNardo and Burkett to join me. We could do like a Rockettes thing up there, three of us. I don't know. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm spitballing here, Mike. I'm one of those idea guys. I'm not a detail guy, as you probably figured out already. So we'll get it together, though. Absolutely. You put me down. I want to help. We will absolutely figure out the best way to help. And remind everybody, as they're thinking about November the 8th, this big golf tournament coming up, it's only about, what, it's a week from Friday, and it's going to be, I'm looking, honest to goodness, I'm looking at Matt DiNardo's weather forecast like 2 weeks out. It's going to be a great day, apparently, for golf. So I want people to get one of those slots before they're all filled.
And we hope so, too. Like I said, we anticipate filling it up, and we would love people to register. Once again, it's a great opportunity to get involved with the organization, have fun. Like you said, the weather's going to be good. We appreciate Jeff DiNardo and his efforts for the organization in general, but for the weather that day.
Yeah.
And but like I said, we're looking forward to a great event, and we just appreciate, once again, the opportunity to come on a show like this to be able to share the great things that we're doing. Yeah. And we've been around for almost 40 years now, started as the Greater Down Syndrome of Greater Richmond, and we've grown throughout the state. And with the exception of Northern Virginia, which is okay. And but like I said, we're really looking forward to events like we have, like I said, in June of next year, with event like we just had, Step Up.
Yep.
And I will say this, you know, one way people can support us is through that website, virginiadsa.org.
Okay.
We left open our Step Up fundraising efforts, because to be honest, we fell short of our $2,000 goal.
Okay.
And so individuals that want to make a donation, we just truly appreciate it. And it, once again, you can go through the site to do that. But like, there's lots of opportunities, great ways for people to volunteer,
yep,
to support us as a sponsor, to get involved with our events like the golf tournament.
I love it. So virginiadsa.org, virginiadsa.org, best way to do it.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. That is Mike Baum. He's the executive director of Virginia Down Syndrome Association. And, yeah, look, if you're a golfer, I know there are a lot of golf tournaments this time of year. I know, because I live here at Hanover Golf Club, and invariably people who are here for the tournaments want to park on my lawn. But other than that, you know, we wave at them on the 18th. It's going to be a great tournament, and it's a great course. So virginiadsa.org. And I'm serious. I'm going to talk to John Burkett and Matt DiNardo and see what they've got to say about that whole Dancing with the Stars. Both of those guys. I mean, I'm throwing some barbs their way, and then believe me when I tell you, they're good natured, because they're such great guys, both of them, Burkett and DiNardo, two of the finest human beings you're ever going to meet, and they each did great work with that Dancing with the Stars. So, all right, I got the invite. I'm going to see if I'm going to be able to somehow figure out a way to do that. I would love to help. I really would. And for those of you that may not recall, my dear friend Kat Simons, who, you know, we lost a couple of months ago, Kat was a major supporter of the Virginia Down Syndrome Association. She, like me, started when it was the Down Syndrome Association of Greater Richmond. And she donated countless hours, was a tireless worker on their behalf. So even if you had been thinking, well, maybe I'll give a donation, maybe I want, here's a chance for you. Don't do it for me. Do it in memory of Kat. VirginiaDSA.org. 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 55, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. for good or ill, it is Monday. We have made it all the way to, Monday. All right, well, what can I tell you? We got a long week ahead of us. Tomorrow, Michael Harrison is going to be with us, one of the most important men in the spoken word community, the talk radio community. Michael founded Talkers Magazine 30-some-odd years ago. We've been friends. It's hard, tough to believe, but we've been friends legitimately for three decades plus. But Michael's going to be here tomorrow, and we'll talk a little bit about the Joe Rogan experience. Donald Trump said, heck yeah, I'm sitting down. I'm going to hang out with Joe Rogan. 3 hours. Never took a breath. Kamala Harris hid under a rock somewhere. Didn't even want to consider going on that. Could you imagine her 3 hours with somebody who is not necessarily friendly? I don't think he's necessarily unfriendly. But even with those minimal press experiences she had with big-time supporters, she couldn't pull it all together. So, but Michael's going to be here. We'll talk about the growth of the Joe Rogan experience and why Donald Trump said, yeah, I'm going to do that. My pal Chris Ruddy, another three-decade-plus pal, is going to be here. He's been friends with Donald Trump for years and years and years. Oh, and Bill O'Reilly is dropping by. So that's all good stuff. I love it. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. Nice job there. Sarah Huffman does some great reports for us, as you probably have figured out. And I want to be the first one to offer her my tickets for the, what was the name of the new roller coaster? The rearrange your kidneys coming out your mouth thing? They had something a little bit, it wasn't quite that long, but I don't do coasters. I'm just telling you right now. The only coaster I want is under a beverage, period, end of story. But I got a sneaking suspicion Sarah Huffman would probably go. So every time they do something out there at King's Dominion, I get an invite. Right? Hey, would you like to do this? Would you like to do that? No, I would not. And it's not that you've done anything wrong. It's that I want all of my internal organs to remain inside my body. I just don't do those things. But I'm thinking here. I'm putting my my head together with anybody else who's sticking their head into the conversation. Germ, Charles Pyle, Sarah Huffman. Yeah. Well, let's do that. Germ, I'll let you know when I get the email, because I will get an email, I guarantee you, from the fine people at King's Dominion saying, hey, we want you to come out for Media Day or some other stuff like that. And we'll give that opportunity to Sarah so she can do an actual report while she is riding the roller coaster. I think that is a good, good thing to do. Yeah, I do. I think that'll be great. Carl Carlson's coming up in just about a half an hour. I'm going to talk a little bit about the world where we are. I mean, the economic world where we are. How are you situated right now? Could you tomorrow say to your boss, yeah, I don't want to do that? Or say to your employer, hey, I've decided to go open a hot dog stand or an ice cream shop, so I'm out of here. Have fun. Because that's what we're talking about when we say retirement. I know everybody associates it with a number. Oh, you have to be this many years old to retire. No, you don't. You need to be this many dollars before you can say, okay, that's it, I'm done. That's retirement. That's financial independence, financial freedom. So Carl's going to be along at 4:35. We got my buddy Tom Leonard is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Well, I want to get a handle on inflation, and we're getting into the holidays, right? A couple of days away from Halloween. So what does that say to most people? Well, here's what it says to Heidi. To Heidi, it means that she's now ready to start putting up Christmas decorations. I feel so bad for those pilgrims. You know, pilgrims came here, set everything up, Plymouth Rock, blah, blah, blah. Nope. Not in our house, man. You got like there's a turkey and a pilgrim in one corner and the rest of it. It is just like Martha Stewart exploded all over the place with all of the Christmas stuff. So what's going to be happening, though? Are we going to be in a good situation for Thanksgiving? Are there going to be enough turkeys? Remember, that was a thing one year? Where are we going to be economically? So anyway, Tom Leonard should be dropping by in the 5 o'clock hour. I got so much that I want to share with you in terms of audio. I'm not quite sure where to start. So Jeremy was kind enough to put together a fantastic list, and so let's just run it down, Jerm. Let us start. This is CNN. CNN, which seems hell-bent for leather to become MSNBC. But J.D. Vance was on there. And let me tell you something. Vance swings for the bleachers every single time he steps to the plate. And thus far, he hasn't missed on any of them. There hasn't been a single whiff on the part of J.D. Vance. Cut number one.
Now, Jake, we also have to remember, step back a little bit. Well, ask yourself a basic question about network integrity. You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating so we recovered them.
And so you took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. A viewer of your network would have believed that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin conspired in 2016.
No.
That was totally and preposously false.
No.
Well, that's what you just said.
Yeah, they would have.
We covered an FBI investigation. I don't know why you want to talk about the FBI investigation.
You covered it in a way that gave credence to anonymous sources' accusations.
Yep.
You did it yourself. Your network did it.
Hit him again.
But
there's
again,
a left.
Can we talk about
right.
the issues that Americans care
about? I'm talking
most
about things that Donald Trump has said.
Yes.
If you have an issue with whether or not he's talking about the economy enough, that's between you and your running mate. I'm talking about things he has said this week.
Every single rally that he does, he talks about how he wants to unleash American energy so we can lower the cost of groceries. He talks about the fact that housing has become unaffordable. He talks about the wide open border, Jake. Kamala Harris and her allies, you know, it's interesting. Kamala Harris and her media allies, and I would put CNN in this category.
I'll tell you that they wouldn't.
Well, they should watch your network more, because you guys seem to care more about Donald Trump's past than the future of the American people. Oh. We're running this campaign on making of the American dream.
I'm specifically
affordable.
Asking about how Donald Trump is going to be president in the future, should he win. And then we're being told
he's going to pursue economic policies that lower the cost of groceries and make life more affordable again. He talks about it every single day on the campaign trail, and so do I. What you're talking about is an anonymously sourced story, or one guy
nothing anonymously sourced,
or who
zero
one guy
thing.
One guy who is a disgruntled employee.
I told
where
you,
five
ten,
other
ten
people,
people
five
ten
other people.
People
pushed back against him and said that what he said was dishonest. So why don't we talk about the policy that's affecting American citizens and not what Donald Trump allegedly said, according to one guy who's pissed off because he got fired by Donald Trump?
Bam! Oh God, I love this guy. I think, I'm not entirely sure because I don't know all the details, but I think I might be involved in a bromance with J.D. Vance. I mean, I got to check what the actual rules are because I think you got to check some boxes and what have you. But I identify as a guy who just loves the living crap out of J.D. Vance. I think he's great. And part of the greatness of J.D. Vance is watching a weasel like Jake Tapper find himself on the verge of tears. I'm telling you, one more whack by J.D. Vance, and Jake Tapper was just going to lose it all over the place. Oh, he was going to be weeping from his eyes or lower down on his body. I don't know, but he was not going to be in a good position. Good for J.D. Vance. Good for America. Somebody's got to hold these clowns accountable. This collection of legacy news media hacks and just interminable ass clowns need to be held accountable. There's nobody falling for your crap anymore. Now, you can sit around with the other purveyors of garbage, the other pablum pukers, and tell yourself how great you are and talk about Hitler and democracy and all this other nonsense you've dreamt up. But you know what? When the rubber hits the road, here's what happens. All the rest of us are trying to figure out how we are paying for gasoline and paying for groceries. Period. End of story. Hey, how about all the other great events at Madison Square Garden? I just have to ask, since apparently any sellout of the Garden is reminiscent of the Nazis, how about all the times that Bruno Sammartino sold out Madison Square Garden? Bruno Sammartino, the greatest wrestling champion in the history of the World Wide Wrestling Federation, had more sellouts of Madison Square Garden than any other human being. It's true. Oh, yeah, he beat the Nazis as well, just FYI. Was that a Nazi rally? Because a huge contingent of Bruno Sammartino's fans and supporters were first or second generation folks who fled.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Nazis, who fought back against the Nazis. How about the sellouts for basketball games? How about the sellouts at Madison Square Garden for boxing events? How about Taylor Swift? She sold out Madison Square Garden. Is she somehow connected to the Nazis as well? I'm just here to tell you, the moment you mention the Nazis and you're not actually talking about the Nazis, you've lost. 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but no, seriously, I think I may be experiencing a case of a bromantic fever with this J.D. Vance. And then people are telling me he wears a makeup, like eyeliner, on his eyes. His eyes do have an interesting look about them. I don't know about you, I find myself drawn into his eyes. It's like he's only looking at me. I'm sorry. Anyway, but there's something about J.D. Vance, I'm telling you, whether it's him whacking Jake Tapper and making Jake Tapper cry, or looking at, what, didn't he go head-to-head with that, who's the other nitwit from NBC? Kristen Welker, right? Wasn't Kristen Welker the one who was all upset about Donald Trump's cholesterol? Well, what do we need to know about Donald Trump's cholesterol? Listen, hon, let me explain this to you. If it's a betting situation, and you have the choice on Donald Trump's cholesterol, I'm telling you, take the over. Take the over on Trump's cholesterol. Because you're going to stick a needle in his arm and pure melted butter is going to come out. And I will still take that every day of the week over that cackling lunatic that the Democrats have put up. Period. End of story. Here's a little bit of my guy, J.D., chatting a little bit with Kristen Welker, cut number four.
Former Vice President Mike Pence said, quote, President Trump asked me to put him over my oath to the Constitution. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. Will your loyalty, Senator, be to the Constitution or to Donald Trump?
Well, of course, my loyalty is to the American people and to the United States Constitution. But I think the best way to accomplish that loyalty, Kristen, is to get back to a president who delivered the fastest rising take-home pay in a generation, 1.5% inflation, and a secure southern border. I don't think there's inconsistency between loyalty to the Constitution and support for Donald Trump. That's why I'm out there trying to persuade my fellow Americans that Donald Trump's presidency worked for them, and I'd like us to get back to those smart policies.
Just to put a very fine point on this, Mike Pence says Trump asked him to put Trump over the Constitution. If you find yourself in a similar position one day, will your loyalty be to the Constitution or to Donald J. Trump?
I just said my loyalty, Kristen, is to the Constitution of the United States. But have we talked at all about the unaffordable cost of groceries? Have we talked about the fact that young, because I brought it up, but young Americans can't afford a home? You didn't bring that up. I brought that up. It's so interesting, Kristen, because I think that Kamala Harris's campaign, and unfortunately, too many of her media allies are more interested in what Donald Trump has said than what Donald Trump did in office. You're more interested in what Kamala Harris is accusing Donald Trump of than what Donald Trump actually did during his four years in office, which is deliver peace and prosperity.
Yes! You go! God, she is pathetic, isn't she? They're all the same. Have you noticed that? All of these pusillanimous pablum pukers on the national stage. They hate Trump. They hate Vance. They hate anybody.
Come on, man.
Well, they do. They hate us. Tucker Carlson pointed this out at the big rally at Madison Square Garden. Tucker Carlson said, hey, why is it that all these Americans like Donald Trump? And his answer was so straightforward and so completely on the mark. It's because they know that Donald Trump likes them. How many years have I been telling you that? The leftists hate us. They hate us. They don't just dislike us. They don't just think to themselves, man, I know I'm so much smarter and better than they are. They hate us. There is a visceral, palpable hatred. Donald Trump likes people. Donald Trump seems to be a guy that would be fun to hang out with. Even though he doesn't drink, he could still have, I don't know, a Coke with him. That'd be cool. That's why he's being beloved by so many people, because he's made clear that he loves the American people. That's why he's doing this. I think it's beautiful. I really, really do. 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. Got to tell you, a couple of great folks that are dropping by tomorrow afternoon. Michael Harrison is going to be here. Michael is the legendary publisher of Talkers Magazine. That is the Bible of talk radio. Let me just tell you that up front. Very, very clearly. Michael is also somebody who has analyzed our medium, talk radio, spoken word, sometimes people call it, and understands where we are, where we've been, where we're going, how we're getting there, all that other good stuff. I wanted to bring him on to talk about the Joe Rogan situation with Donald Trump. Donald Trump sat down with Joe Rogan, did the entire Joe Rogan experience, like 3 hours. And I thought, well, man, it was amazing. It was must watch, must listen. And Trump, I think, is the first guy ever in that sort of situation to do that. Kamala Harris took a big powder on that, and I think she missed a big shot there. But anyway, so that'll be tomorrow. Michael Harrison will be here Wednesday. Another longtime friend, Chris Ruddy, the man behind Newsmax, is going to be with us. And yes, you can invest in Newsmax. We'll probably talk a little bit about that. I always force him to do that. But I wanted to just pick Ruddy's brain a little bit on the air, because he's been buds with Donald Trump for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And he knows the man. So we'll talk about that. And then next week, weird, it seems like it's old home week, but another longtime friend, Bill O'Reilly, is going to be here. And we'll get his lay of the land the day before Election Day and what he thinks might happen and how it might happen. And so that's all great stuff coming up. I got to tell you, Carl Carlson is no slouch either, and Carl joins us every Monday afternoon. We talk about, I would say, the economy, but it's really how it's hitting you, where you are, what you're doing. Are you preparing for that moment when you can say, I am financially independent. I don't need to go to work, or I want to start a business, or I'm passing this on to my kids. And there's a new survey out talking a lot about that, and the challenges that some younger people are facing. Carl, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeff. That was a good watch the Joe Rogan Trump podcast. That was very good.
It was good, wasn't it? It was just, did you come away in the same way that I did, that Donald Trump, number one, can hang with anybody, and number two, that you just thought, huh, well, I kind of like that guy.
Yeah. Definitely, because that was the way, you know, Joe Rogan can be a pretty hard hitter.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't just lobbing a few things out there.
No.
So he was asking him some good questions, and Trump was just so comfortable answering them. And
yep.
So it was good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I mentioned just a moment ago that a lot of people talk about retirement. We talk about an age. You have to be 62. You have to be 65. You got to be, you know, 108, whatever it is. But the reality is that what you and I talk about on a regular basis is that financial freedom, that financial independence, where you can say, I have enough dollars over here that are working for me that I can do a bunch of other things if that's what I want to do. But as a parent, you always want to do better for your children. And I've got the question for you. Is it easier now, or is it harder now for somebody in our younger generations to get their economic house in order?
Even in my generation, which is baby boomers, I can still look at my dad and see that, oh my gosh, it seems like he just had it better than I do financially. It was easier for him financially. Mm-hmm. Wasn't as stressful. Now, I don't know if he was just a good actor or if that was real. But as you go down and you have younger and younger people, it's definitely harder for them to do as well as their parents. I can see how it's going to be. It's a hard row to hoe for my kids to be able to do what I've done.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of sad to see that.
Yeah.
I don't think my parents ever felt that way. They never expressed that to me. You know, growing up, it was always the American dream. You can do it. Work hard.
Yeah.
Be smart. Do the, be right. And be good. And you can achieve these things. And, you know, I have a little bit of a struggle relaying that same message onto my kids. Because it's kind of, you know, they're in their round 30.
Yep.
So I'm like, man, we got to figure out some ways for you to be able to get there because it doesn't look near as achievable as it used to be.
You're spot on. Now, I find that fascinating that that your dad painted that image for you because I'm thinking, I think back on my dad was apparently not a very good actor because everything miserable that ever happened, I heard about it. I heard about it six different ways and six different times. So I think he may have scared me a little bit more than your dad scared you there, Mr. Carlson, but...
Maybe you needed it.
I absolutely needed it. Are you kidding me? Now, I'm doing my best to try and scare my boys, but they're like your kids. You know, they're a little bit younger than yours, but the same thing. I've heard from them things that just make my hair hurt, like, oh, well, I'll never be able to afford to buy a home. And they say it as if they're, you know, like they've picked up a pencil and said, oh, yes, this is a pencil. It's just, for them, it seems like a given. And, God, I just want to cry over that.
Yeah, that's tough to have to be in that position to think that way and feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do we do? I mean, we're coming up on the end of the year, right? I mean, we're almost in November. There's always the race to the financial planning people and going, oh, my God, I was supposed to do this back in July. I know I was supposed to do it. And sometimes you get stuff done. Sometimes you can't. But for those younger folks, your kids, my kids, are there certain things they ought to be looking at now? And frankly, should I as a dad be saying to the boys, hey, pay attention here, nitwits. Here's what you need to be looking at.
You know, the biggest, well, there's a couple things. One is just making sure that they're maxing out or putting as much money as they can into their retirement 401k type plans, but in the Roth side.
Okay.
Okay. Because they can put $23,000 in there.
Wow.
And, you know, I see 25-year-olds that are making $100,000.
Yep.
So they need to, but I don't see any that are saving $23,000 out of that $100,000. So getting focused on that, huge.
Okay.
So and going into the Roth, and that has to be done by the end of the year. To max out your Roth at your work. It's the individual Roth IRA that you have until April 15th of the following year.
Oh, okay.
And that one, somebody under 50 can put in up to $7,000.
Okay.
In your work plan under 50, that's $23,500.
Wow. Okay.
So those are a couple of things, but really, one of the most important things, I think, is just getting really smart on your investments. And you can pretty easily earn if you're doing things halfway right, you can earn probably at least 5% a year, more than what the average financial firm would make for you. 5%, you know, if you have $1 million, that's an extra 50 grand, or if you have 100,000, that's an extra 5 grand. Yep. But that number could go 5 to 10%. And so starting to really get honed in on how do I get that little bit of extra rate of return on my money is what's going to help, and massively. And then if you got it in the right tax bucket, all the better.
And the, you kind of talk about credit as well. Carl, I hear people who are 50 or 55 years old complaining about debt. Oh, my God, I just put this on my credit card. I've maxed this out. I've maxed that out. I can only afford to make the minimum payments. And I'm thinking, man, you are going to be dead for 20 years and still paying if you're making minimum credit card payments. I mean, that is an absolute guaranteed recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that is. If you've got credit card debt, you know, if you're using it strategically and it's a 0% interest rate or something, that's maybe a different deal. But if you've just had to go rely on it because of inflation and now everything's costing more and you were kind of working on the edge anyway, and now all this happens and you're throwing stuff on credit cards, repairs on your home or your car, the big things start stacking up. Yeah, that's you have got to figure out a better way. Now, I understand maybe somebody that just ran into some major medical problems or, you know, something that they had to do it, and that's the way it is. But for most people, you should not be, you know, charge it and pay it off that month and don't pay any interest on it. And that's pretty much where you need to be. The home, yeah, you could probably, if you got one of those low interest rates, I wouldn't pay that thing off, and I wouldn't pay it off early. I would just keep making the minimum payments.
Well, that's a great point. And I mean, it's all about strategy. It's all about having somebody on your team. We're fortunate. I mean, I'm not bragging on you because you're here. I brag on you all the time. Carl Carlson is my guy. Carl, I send people, as you know, to connect with Carlson.com. What do they need to do after they check in there? Can they call you and talk?
Yep, give us a call, 844-CARLSON, or they can reach out to us at our website that I very quickly and sharply and brightly remember the name every time we talk. It's carlsonfinancial.com.
I love it. You got it right. Thank you, sir. That is Carl Carlson, carlsonfinancial.com. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. So I'm getting a note here from one of the real reporters left out there in Charlottesville. Says that Larry Sabato, who, as you know, heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the shameless promotion of Larry Sabato at UVA, is apparently on CNN talking about his Nazi tweet. Well, gosh, you think anybody at CNN will have the batesum necessary to confront him on how absolutely vile and disgusting his Nazi tweet was? I'm here to tell you, as a Jewish American, that it was one of the most disgusting things I have ever seen, and I am personally calling on Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, and the Board of Visitors, or the Board of Trustees, or the Board of Directors, whatever the hell they call them out there at UVA, and Governor Young. I'm calling everybody. You got to rein this guy in. Half a million Virginia taxpayer dollars being sent to this nitwit, and he's making these disgusting comments that spit on the graves of my family members who died at the hands of the Nazis. I mean, it is what it is. It's disgusting. And I'm always willing to give everybody a pass. You said you didn't mean to tweet it. You tweeted it. You're sorry. You X'd it. Or is it still tweeting? Am I tweeting on X or am I X-ing on X? I don't know. But he sent it out there. And I have it. If you're not following me on X, well, you missed the whole exchange the other night. Go and follow Jeff Katz Show over on X. Jeff Katz Show on X. And you can read it all. And make no mistake, I'm not the only one who's calling out Sabato for this disgusting crap that he put out there. But he's got to be somehow, some way, investigated. It's just outrageous to think that this is going to go unaddressed. He makes $500,000. And he's paid by we the people, the taxpayers of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Sorry, but I think I get a say in that. Now, he may be all okay over there on CNN because they're only a half a step away from MSNBC at this point. But CNN, Fox News, every one of these news outlets should put him on a list of people they will never, ever allow on their air as a valid, legitimate political analyst again. He should be dead to the world in that regard. It's absolutely inexcusable. And yet, there it is. There it is. All right. My buddy Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market is going to be joining us, I think, at 5:05, right, Jerm? I want to talk a little bit about inflation. I want to talk about the holiday season coming up. Are we going to be seeing shortages or the things that we need to be especially aware of? Oh, 5:35. All right, even better. We'll get time to get ready for him. You know, put out a little spread, a little something nice for him to snack on. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., my friend John Reed is going to be here. Tomorrow could be the day that John announces he's running for lieutenant governor. Make sure you're here at 6 a.m. Would you be, please? 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Are they still all over that Tavares Floyd? Ah! Gang, it's 2024. I don't know why they're upset. The man identifies as a lawyer, then by God, he's a lawyer. He identifies as a business owner, then he's a business owner. Stop harassing him. Seriously. It's just craziness, don't you think? My friend Wendy Oman over at Jake's Place is...
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Making a birthday cake for WRVA. You want to talk about an amazing lady. I love Wendy. You know that. I love Wendy and love John and the whole gang. But we were chatting, and Wendy brought up to me, she says, you know, it's the 99th birthday of WRVA. And I said, oh, yeah, it is. So I'm going to make a birthday cake. I said, well, that's sweet. So I'm going to pop by. I told her I would. I got stuff coming up on Saturday. I am a celebrity chili judge for the Nest Academy. Great organization, by the way. Great. The work that they do is incredible. So I got to be there to sample copious amounts of chili and render a professional decision at around 1 o'clock. So I told Wendy I would pop over to Jake's Place while she's serving up the birthday cake, the WRVA birthday cake. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll be there at 11:30. And she said, well, why not 11:40? And I said, well, there you go. So, I mean, if you're in the neighborhood, you want a free piece of birthday cake, you can pop over to Jake's Place and get that. This Saturday is November the 2nd. That's the 99th birthday of WRVA. I think that's pretty cool. I really, really do. I think that's pretty cool stuff. All right. Let me get to... I have so many. I just don't know. Well, all right. Let me... How about cut number two? This is another CNN snippet, and it's Jake Tippity Tapper, man. He is a useful tool, isn't he? Cut number two.
You are running to be vice president of the United States.
Of course.
And there is a 50-50 chance, maybe better, I don't know, that you're going to succeed. Are you running to be vice president of the United States, or are you running to be vice president of the red states? Because if you win, and there's a decent chance you will... You're going to be vice president of childless cat ladies. You're going to be vice president of legal Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio. You're going to be their vice president, too. Are you running to do that?
Jake, of course I'm running to be the vice president of all Americans. I'm running because I want people to be able to afford a good life in this country. You know how I grew up. You know that I grew up in a family where things were often tough. I want, whether you're in a blue state or a red state, whether you're going to vote for Trump or you're going to vote for Harris, I want you to be able to have a good life in this country. But what's not going to happen with the broken leadership in Washington, D.C. Let me give you a statistic, Jake, because here is what the leadership of people like Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and, yes, Mike Pence over 30 years in this country has led to. A person with a bachelor's degree lives 7 years longer than a person without a bachelor's degree. There are a lot of people who have gotten rich and powerful off of American decline. Some of them have had R's next to their name. Some of them have had D's next to their name. And the first person who I believe is really putting the interests of the American people first is Donald J. Trump. So, yes, we're going to be the president and the vice president for all people. The only way to do that is to reject the failed consensus.
Yeah, spot on. Now, I had one caveat. If I were J.D. Vance, and I do love J.D. Vance, I'm telling you, I just think the world of this guy, I would have turned him and said, Jake, I am running to be vice president for all of the childish cat ladies. I'm running to be vice president for all Americans, except for you, because you are just bugging me these days, Jake, and everybody but you. See if Tapper even cracks a smile. I don't think the man has a sense of humor, and that scares me. When people do not have a sense of humor, that reveals something about them that just is not even close to good. You know who Jonathan Karl is, do you not? Jonathan Karl is one of the hackiest of the left-wing hacks, a legacy news media dinosaur. He's over at ABC. And he is in full meltdown mode. About the election. Well, if Donald Trump wins, we're all going to be transported up to the mothership. It's all over. It's the yeah. Okay. All right. Now, take a deep breath there, Jonathan. Don't hyperventilate. I don't want to have to go get that plain brown paper bag and have you breathe in and out of it. But I want you to take a listen to Jonathan Karl and just hear how hysterical the hysterical left has gotten. Cut number 7.
Good morning. Welcome to This Week. For most of us, Election Day is already here. Virtually all of us live in places where you don't have to wait till November 5th to cast your ballot. More than 40 million Americans have already voted. This morning, we're going to talk about where the race stands, who's up in the polls, who's down, the tactics the candidates are using to convince undecided voters and to get their supporters to turn out. But this isn't a sporting event. This is about much more than tactics or polls. If there is one thing both sides agree on, it's that America is making a choice that will say a great deal about what kind of a nation we are and what kind of a nation we may become. 4 years ago, Donald Trump became the first president in American history to refuse to accept the results of a presidential election and to do everything in his power to try to overturn the will of the people. It was an effort that continued even after he left the White House. This time, Trump once again seems to be making it clear he won't accept the results if he loses. But he might not have to. Donald Trump has a very good chance of winning this election. He might even be, at this moment, the front runner. This even after his former chief of staff issued a stark warning this week that Trump wants to rule as a dictator, that he meets the textbook definition of a fascist. Once again, this is not a normal campaign.
Are you done? Are you done? Can I get you a tissue to wipe your tears? Seriously, son, why don't you sit down and just slow in and out. Big cleansing breaths. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, Jonathan Karl, but you're freaking nuts. You really are. You're just bat crap flipping crazy. You're nuts. You're just nuts. Here's how people are voting. And why people are voting. They shop at the grocery store. Now, that's something you're not burdened with anymore because you are part of the uber-wealthy leftists. I guarantee that Jonathan Karl has not seen the inside of a supermarket in years. I can guarantee you that Jonathan Karl has a driver. And that means that he doesn't fill up his car with gasoline. But the rest of us go to the supermarket on a regular basis. The rest of us fill up our cars or our trucks with fuel. And we see every single day the destruction that Kamala Harris and her team have unleashed on us. Now, you couple that with the fact that we know how the leftists feel. I don't want you to ever labor under the delusion that the leftists like you. The leftists hate you. The leftists hate me. Now, here's the difference between you and me. I don't care. I can tell you that legitimately, as I am sitting here, I honest to goodness, do not care. I have looked at the world and said, well, here's what I want to do, and here's how I want to do it, and here's what we're going to do, and here's what we're not going to do. And that's how I get along in life. I don't care that they hate me. You might still be concerned about that. You're going to have to learn to deal with it. And the best way that you can deal with it right now is to go out and make sure that you vote for somebody who actually does like you. Donald Trump legitimately likes the American people. Donald Trump legitimately loves America and the opportunity that it represents and the American people. Donald Trump is a lot of things, and some of them are not necessarily attractive, right? But here's what I can tell you. Donald Trump is not Hitler. His supporters are not Nazis. His supporters are a lot like you and a lot like me. Go to the grocery store. Go to the Wawa. Donald Trump wants our kids, our grandkids, to have the same opportunities that he did. Last thing that Donald Trump needs is to be president of the United States. I think it's more a pain in the rear end than anything else. But he's doing it, again, in my opinion, for all the right reasons. I have no qualms whatsoever about voting for Donald Trump. And if necessary, I will get an extra box of tissues for Jonathan Carl as he weeps silently in the corner. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Donald Trump is absolutely positively about hope. That's where we are right about now. It is about hope for the future. It is about understanding where we were, where we can go. Unburdened by what had... No, that's somebody else. But it is really, honest to goodness, all about moving forward. And I had 3 hours of Donald Trump and Joe Rogan. I couldn't think to myself, well, which one is the best of the best? I listened to the Trump experience at Madison Square Garden. Didn't Billy Joel do like a residency at Madison Square Garden? Wasn't that his shtick for a while? Did he sell it out every time? Did he know that it was Hitlerian? Apparently, every sellout at Madison Square Garden is all about Adolf Hitler. Who knew, right? It's disgusting. But anyway, I digress. I want to give you a little snippet here. We have just enough time here. Cut number 9, Donald Trump. Remember him? Former and, God willing, future president of the United States. Cut number 9.
This election is a choice between whether we will have 4 more years of gross incompetence and failure, or whether we will begin the 4 greatest years in the history of our country. We will achieve success that no one can imagine. We will have the strongest economy, the most secure borders, the safest cities, the most powerful military, the best trade deals, and we will dominate the frontiers of science, medicine, business, technology, and space. And I'm asking you to be excited about the future of our country again. I'm asking you to dream big again. We're going to dream big again. We haven't been dreaming big at all. This will be America's new golden age. It's going to happen quickly, too, very quickly. Every problem facing us can be solved, but now the fate of our nation is in your hands. Next Tuesday, you have to stand up and you have to tell Kamala Harris that you've done a terrible job, that crooked Joe Biden has done a terrible job. You've destroyed our country. We're not going to take it anymore. Kamala, you're fired. Get out. Get out. You're fired.
I love it. I do. I love it. He's a funny guy. And he's a successful guy. And I know there are times where you think, well, I wish you didn't say that, or I don't like the way you said that. It's okay. Welcome to the real world, kids. All flawed human beings, right? Some of us slightly more flawed than others. But I think there's a guy who can put us back on track. And he's going to be successful in this if he is, because there are people like you and people like me who simply get up and go to the Wawa and put gas in the car or in the truck. Go to the grocery store and say, wow, prices are up again. Speaking of that, Tom Leonard's going to be here from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. Are we going to get whacked with the holiday season? How are we set as far as Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff coming in? Inflation, how's that going to impact us? Tom's going to enlighten us in just a couple of moments at 5:35. It's 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Great job, as per usual. Charles, I've mentioned it before. We're just very happy, or I'm very happy. I don't know if anybody else is. I am very, very happy to have Charles part of our team and get his expert reporting each and every afternoon. Our friend Miss Huffman is doing a great job, and I'm giving her my tickets for the roller coaster. I'm just telling you, I'm not going. So I want to hear a live report from her, Sarah Huffman, riding the brand new roller coaster. I think that'd be great fun. Hey, tomorrow, longtime friend of mine, dear friend, really, Michael Harrison. He's the publisher of something called Talkers Magazine. It is the Bible of talk radio and spoken word media. He's got some insight on President Trump's appearance with Joe Rogan, 3-hour appearance, which I just thought was amazing. Coming up the day after that, my old pal Chris Ruddy from Newsmax is going to be here. And then next week, another old buddy of mine, Bill O'Reilly, is going to be here. I got a lot of old buddies. I got a lot of dear friends. And I'm happy to say that another one of them, Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market, is joining us. We take a look ahead at what we may or may not be seeing with the seasonality and inflation and the like. Tom, good afternoon, sir.
Pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, the pleasure is always mine. Now, I want to talk about all these important things. Make no mistake about it, Tom. We got a lot of important stuff to talk about, but before I do that, I want to once again say congratulations to TJ. I read yet another amazing article about him taking over as president of Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. It's got to be a good time for you.
Jesus, I'll tell you something. I never got publicity like this when I was running it. He's doing great. But, you know, I'll tell you, he's doing it, and he's got a lot going for him. You know, he spent a lot of time really learning about the business over the last 3 years, and I'm so happy that he's back.
Yeah, yeah. It is fascinating. Now, I didn't realize, I as you know, I spent time in Connecticut and New England, so I knew Stu Leonard's. I didn't realize there was even a generation before your dad that was in this industry as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my great-grandfather, well, actually, my grandfather was a milkman. And he actually, they had the Norwalk Dairy, Norwalk, Connecticut Dairy, that was the name of it. And I'd actually be a milkman today if it wasn't for a few things that happened. So, yeah.
Well, I guess it's a good thing you're lactose intolerant then, isn't it? I mean, that's... I love it, Tom.
But it's an exciting time right now, Jeff, and for all the support. You know, it's fun having him there. You know, succession is an important thing in a family business because most of them fail because the founder can't let go. And so the kid never really gets a chance to take the training wheels off and run the business. And, you know, you want to, if there's any problems or if there's any big decisions that they want to make, you know, it's always best to make them while the parents are still alive.
Yeah.
And they can call up and ask a question, you know, hey, what about this? What would you do here? What would you do there? And give them the advice, which gives the business for another nation.
Exactly. Oh, what a great point. Tom Leonard is joining us. Tom, of course, well, I was going to say he's the president of Tom Leonard's Farmers Market, but he's not anymore. His son, TJ, is the president of Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. What exactly is your title over there these days, Tom?
I'm going to be coming for you pretty sick. I'm doing a lot of different, not much. I mean, I don't have much of a, I guess I've gone from the quarterback to the coach, Jeff. Family does work, and if you're smart, you're good. You know, you're going to work on the succession, and
yep.
You know, if you're not, you know, good luck with keeping it going. I mean, it's just one of those things. You just have to do it, and that I'm very happy about it. But you're not going to find me out fishing or anything like that. I mean, I do spend a lot of time over at Mongrel, the gym over on the south side, doing jiu-jitsu with all the team and everything. But wow. You know, it's getting me in shape. It'll probably keep me living longer.
Oh yeah, dude. I don't take this the wrong way or the right way. You look great.
I'm getting there. So do you. How much weight have you lost now?
I'm down 53 pounds total.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. All right, now.
Yeah,
I want to talk about what's coming up with the holidays, and this is one of the very important reasons to get you on here, Tom. We've got Halloween coming up just a couple of days. That's out of the way, blah, blah, blah. But now we're moving into Thanksgiving. We're moving into Christmas. Are you seeing anything on the horizon, supply chain, inflation, anything like that, that's going to hit us as we're looking at holiday buying?
Well, I was talking to the guys today, and they were explaining to me, basically when the hurricanes came right up there, it decimated southern Florida, and it decimated western North Carolina, and of course, mm-hmm. Georgia. But these guys, you know, they've got it pretty well arranged now. They've got, matter of fact, our first trucks direct from Florida and northern Florida,
right?
With all the citrus and the big mandarins and, you know, very real sweet stuff is coming up in Friday. And then on Friday also, they're bringing in a lot of the product in, a lot of organic stuff product in from eastern North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
So they seem to have survived the storms okay. And that, but, you know, we're very lucky, Jeff, because very, very lucky because a few years ago, we were able to get connected with Christmas tree growers and southwestern Virginia and the western part.
All right, yeah, Jerm, do me a favor. Let's, you sort of circle around. I hate the phrase, but circle around with Tom. See if we get a better connection for him. And well, if we don't have time today, we'll get him in there. But at least there was some good news from Tom Leonard on the food front. I guess he's got a bad connection where he is. He's probably jujitsuing as we speak, and his phone's getting knocked around. But some good insight there, and we'll get Tom back when he's got a better connection so that we just hear a little bit more, because I really am concerned. I say that because most of us are getting into the season where we're going to be investing a lot of money in food. Right? I know you eat every week, you go to the supermarket every week. Now, I'm talking about major, major investments for Thanksgiving, and there's always a benchmark. You know, what are the turkeys costing? What are the sides costing? And how out of whack is it? We've got the inflation that you know, and I know for the last 4 years has really, really just, it's just hit everybody. So hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit better about that. And I do want to know from him, from Tom, that is, what's going on as far as the Christmas trees? Because you remember a couple of years back, Tom led the effort to partner up with a lot of the Christmas tree farms in southwest Virginia. So I'm hoping against hope that they've got everything together as they're coming through. It was Hurricane Helene that hit them. So all good stuff there. So I appreciate Tom Leonard joining us for a couple of moments. And yes, I'm getting all these nice notes saying, oh my God, we love Tom. We didn't hear everything. Yeah, he had a bad connection. So we're going to make sure next time we get him on, might even be this week, right, Jerm, if we got a spot somewhere, get him on to address these issues and let you experience some of his knowledge, which is just absolutely voluminous in that food industry. Space. It really is. It's just great stuff. Tomorrow, Michael Harrison will be here. We'll talk about the power of the Joe Rogan experience. Anybody think it was going to be this huge that Joe Rogan was going to be a player in terms of presidential elections? Probably not. Do you spend time experiencing the Joe Rogan experience? Now, I do. I happen to like it. Not all of it. I don't like everything all the time anyway, right? Do you like anything 100% of the time? Of course not. There's sometimes you go, eh, you know what? He's talking to somebody. I'm just not that interested in that. Okay. But the President of the United States said, I'll spend 3 hours with you. Donald Trump, it's like Donald Trump even didn't have to get up and go to the men's room. What did he ask for? A bottle of water at one point? That was about it. Just hanging with Rogan. Yeah, hit me with your best shot, man. Shoot it straight. There you go. Did a great job. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris has every single member of the national legacy news media on her side, and she still can't put together a coherent sentence. So tomorrow we'll talk about the power of that with my buddy Michael Harrison from Talkers. Wednesday, we've got another longtime friend, Chris Ruddy from Newsmax. You know, Newsmax is getting ready to go public. You know that. And Chris, you know, it's funny. Chris had said to me that he was going to send me an invite to go up to New York for the whole big bell ringing thing when Newsmax goes public. Jeremy, do me a favor. Before he comes on tomorrow, make sure you remind him of that. I got to book my travel if he's serious about that. And then next week, Bill O'Reilly is going to be here. Bill O'Reilly's got to get, well, as he always does, the last word. He's going to be with us on Monday right before the election. It is 5:46. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is Monday. I'm looking at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It's so bizarre. Some of the texts that come in, hey, Jeff, could you tell so-and-so this? No, this is not a message service. Doesn't work that way. I don't want you to take it the wrong way. Well, I don't really care if you take it the wrong way. No, I'm not delivering messages. And don't ask somebody else to deliver messages to me. That's absurd. Absolutely flippin' absurd. We got a lot of very important stuff that we've got to deal with. We got a few days left before the election day. A lot of people have already voted. I know that. Nice turnout, I'm told, down in Chesterfield on Saturday. Lara Trump was there. That was great. Yesterday, Congressman Rob Whitman asked me if I would come over and be part of this special reception for him up here in Hanover. And, of course, I was happy to do it. Look, I've known Rob for a long time. I like Rob. I really do. I think Rob Whitman's just one of the great guys. I think he's going to be well served with a new member of Congress for the 5th Congressional District. State Senator John McGuire is going to move up into that spot after the election, and I think we're all going to be well served. I really do. I don't do predictions, so don't ask me who I think is going to win, who's going to be president, who's not. All I can tell you is this. You have to look at everything that's going on. You have to look at why things have gone on. And you have to consider where things are going. How are we going to get wherever it is that we're going to get? Is Kamala Harris going to do something different in the next 4 years than what she's done in the last 4 years? I would say no. I would say no. I think she is vacuous. I think she's a horrible person. I really do. The lies that she is willing to allow to spill out of her mouth are just unconscionable. But it is what it is, I suppose. Is Donald Trump a perfect guy? No, far from it. Somebody sent a note. Jeff, what do you think Donald Trump is perfect? No, I don't. I don't know any perfect people that I can talk to today. I just don't. And maybe some of us are closer than others, but no, I don't think he's not. But I know how things were just a few years back. I know how things were when Donald Trump was president. And I know that I was in a better situation. Now, if you weren't, then, well, maybe your mileage is going to vary, and so be it. But the Katz family was in a much better place when Donald Trump was president. And I would like to restore those opportunities to the Katz family. Absolutely, completely, totally selfish on that. You're welcome to come along for the ride, though. I think we'll be much better off with Donald Trump back in the Oval Office. Tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed is going to be here, and I'm hoping you'll join me at 6 a.m. listening to John. It's always great stuff. I think he does just a wonderful, wonderful job in the morning. All right, have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do it all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.